You've just covered a number of areas that don't necessarily have to depend on technology.
No. And see, that's one of the things when this first happened, what I suggested is why don't we just take a low tech view? My thinking was is that I like to look at big picture. And so when this was right before the decision was made to close a lot of the schools, and I was thinking, all right, if we really wanted to change the world, if we really wanted to solve real world problems, if we really wanted to change education for the better, this would be an amazing time to do it. Because what if instead of worrying about all the technology, or at least seeing the technology, now don't get me wrong, I'm not a technophobe. This is what I do for a living. I help people understand how to use these tools and use them in very creative, innovative ways that give students self-agency, right? I believe in efficacy and collective efficacy, collaborating, like meeting you and talking to you here. What a beautiful thing, right? But you and I are working on our relationship, not the tool. So I'm not tool adverse, but what if we let every teacher that's working with their students decide how about kids doing a project that addresses a real world problem that they're interested in? What if we allowed them to play with ideas and brainstorm and do drawings and research and read and look at the historical perspective of all depending on the developmental ability of the child? But to really come up with maybe use design-based kinds of thinking. If somebody was going to learn something new, I would suggest let's all work on becoming design-based teachers, or let's do something through inquiry. And really use an inquiry kind of method. And then through those really good questions and those wondering, have kids pick their own project. So for some, it's gonna be, what about the shelters right now for animals? You know, they're going because people aren't adopting pets right now and the shelters are overflowing. And so they're going to have to euthanize a lot more animals than they normally would. How do we solve that problem? How do we get it solved quick, right? And so, if you had all these kids everywhere, every teacher just does one service learning kind of project or one real world scenario that they're going to solve, think of the answers and the exciting things that we could do to change the world. What about it's attacking the elderly in the homes for the elderly. So what if some kid came up with a project that we could all do to inundate those people with videos and electronic messages and things that would cheer them up, and creating a community where we can invite those people in and we can all be online, you know, nurturing them and allowing the sense of community to encourage them and help their immune system. So that, I guess what I see, if we were talking about forever, if we were talking about 2, 3, 4, 5 years out of a child's life, you know, maybe we need to put some structure in there. But why don't we just use this time to do a little bit of unschooling and kind of rethink the system and maybe let kids not only pursue their own interests, but do it for social good? I think we could come out of this crisis, this pandemic, better off than what we went in, and it wouldn't have to have high-tech solutions to do that.
You mentioned our seniors who happen to be in assisted living environments. An idea that's being floated, which really resonated with me, was these occupants, these residents, they're of an earlier generation, our parents' generation, if you will, who didn't have high-tech tools at their disposal. They were letter writers. And what better time and opportunity than to perhaps have our school-aged children pick up paper and pens and pencils and write to some of our residents in these senior centers, and giving our seniors opportunities to write back.
Sure.
And that's all low tech, but it definitely helps reinforce the whole writing skill set for our young generation.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And you know, it doesn't have to stop with senior citizens. So what if we had kids write? It can be electronically. Some of us produce better online. I found now that my hand really starts to cramp when I do lots and lots of writing in a pencil and paper format. I find that I really do better when I'm in an electronic format. So either works. But what if we wrote letters to soldiers? What if we researched a particular topic that we're, let's say I'm a ninth, 10th, 11th grader, senior and I am really interested in a particular problem within my city, I could write letters to the editor. I could be writing things to, putting petitions together about things that I'm seeing happening in current events right now that, you know, need is a travesty and needs to change. What if I picked a particular problem and I use the power of the pen and use the tools of the journalist to truly become an empowered learner and figured out from a very authentic place how to change the system? And so this is the ideal time. We can allow kids to really thin the walls of the classroom now. We still can have the connection. Don't just abandon the tech. I mean, most people have a mobile phone. So still talk to your students, maybe set up some, I would take a Google Doc and I would put it into a very attractive format. And I would start to put directions and maybe have cells with specific links that they can go to with your directions laid out, sort of vet any resources or materials that you want them to use, especially for younger kids. Do those kinds of things, but maybe have passion-based projects. There's something called Genius Hour. And so Genius Hour is something where kids can spend 1 hour researching or pursuing a topic that they're interested in. What do they want? I want to build something with wood and nails and stuff, or whatever they're interested in. And we have to find a time and fight for it in public schools for kids to be able to have 1 hour, usually once a quarter, that they can do Genius Hour, right? This can be Genius Hour the whole time. I mean, this is where some of the great reformers in our world today, scientists and journalists and social reformers, they would dig down deep, Albert Einstein, and they would tinker. They would play and they would tinker. And this is an amazing time to do art. This is amazing time to do music and dance and art. So what I would really encourage people to do, don't recreate the wheel. I mean, don't replicate what you already have and recreate in the home with the, when during this time. Do what you always wanted to do. I want teachers to be able to tap into their own passion and to do the things they always dreamed about, that your dream school. If you could have a classroom or if you could have a school that you always dreamed that you would want to do, not the one that was mandated, then what would you do? But why not maximize that opportunity of not having to have any regimented school time and be able to do some really creative things and allow teachers to self-actualize through chasing their passions and allow students to self-actualize by going after their interests. Sometimes the best creativity takes place when you have constraints. So I believe there should be a skeleton, there should be loose bones. That's what teachers need to do. They need to kind of set up what are the boundaries to this learning that you're gonna do your really passion-based creative kinds of stuff, but then allow lots of choice of tools, choice of the way that a child will show mastery in what they create. You know, some kids are gonna wanna draw, some kids are gonna wanna dance, some kids are gonna wanna use technology to create some really cool things, maybe some models, maybe some scenarios. So there's just so much potential. I guess the potential I see is this is the time that a teacher could truly decide what they thought school should be. This is the time that instead of a teacher being told what to do, they could make learning about an individualized approach and what they want to do, right? It's learning to be. And so allowing students to learn to be scientists, historians, what, and it's about a teacher learning to be a curator rather than somebody that is, you know, trying to open up a child's head, pour the facts in, close it up, and let them regurgitate it back, which that doesn't have anything to do with learning. That has to do with knowledge consumption, and it's one of the very lowest levels of critical thinking. So instead, let's move on up and have kids that are actually creators and that are solving real-world problems. I think that would be a good way to do it.